So we began seeing yesterday Ula's drasha. Ula learns from the pasuk v'itztikwa es hatzadik v'hirshiu es harasha that Edim Zomim who cannot get the regular normal kasher zaman punishment, so instead they will get malchus. And he learned that all from the pasuk v'itztikwa es hatzadik v'hirshiu es harasha. What would be a case of making the innocent innocent and making the guilty guilty? That's the case of Edim Zomim. Because in fact, the false witnesses were trying to make somebody who is innocent into a rasha. And rather, the second set of Edim now restore everything back to its proper place, i.e., they make the innocent man, the one who really was innocent, back into an innocent. He's really a tzaddik. To the contrary, the Edim Zomim, they are the Rishoim. And that's why, v'hoyoim bin hakoyis, they get malchus. Now, says the Gemara in conclusion, v'tepeklei the last two words on the line. V'tepeklei, why can't we derive this from elsewhere? We are deriving this principle from the words v'itztikwa es hatzadik, that Edim Zomim, for whatever reason, they cannot get the regular kasher zaman punishment, so instead they will get malchus. So nobody is disputing that. But why must we derive that from v'itztikwa hatzadik? Why can't we learn it, says the Gemara, v'tepeklei miloisane? Why can't we learn it from loisane? What does it say in the Torah, loisane? Loisane, we just read on Shabbos. It says, don't give false testimony. If somebody turns out to be an Eid Zomim, then obviously it means he has transgressed the law of Loisane. Now you'll remember we said on an earlier occasion, very, very important rule, albeit there are several exceptions. The general rule is every law in the Torah, the punishment is Malchus, unless for some reason it's otherwise. So if the Torah says, don't eat Chazir, it does not specify what the punishment is. So if it doesn't specify, then assume Malchus. As I mentioned, there are several exceptions, and in fact, we're about to learn one now. So when the Torah says, Loi Sane, do not testify falsely, it does not say what the punishment is. So unless I'm told otherwise, the assumption would be that it must therefore be Malchus. So if you have Edim Zomim against whom you cannot carry out the regular kasher zaman punishment, so isn't it obvious that they get malchus? Why do I need to derive it from the pasuk of v'itztikwa es hatzadik? What's wrong with the original source of the issa to give false testimony, which is loisan? If it says that magic word loi is always a loisase, so surely they would get malchus anyway. Says the Gemara, here we have one of the major, major exceptions in the rule. Again, the rule is every lav gets malchus. There are a number of exceptions, and this is one of the most famous. Says the Gemara, no. Mishum Dahavale, because it is a lav she'ein boi maisa. V'kol lav she'ein boi maisa, ein loikin olov. This is a lav which does not have an act. A lav which is violated through the form of speech. Speech is not considered an act. So if I eat chazir, or if I eat treifa, or if I eat basa b'cholov, that's an act. Eating is considered an act. And indeed, if the Torah does not specify otherwise, the assumption is it's malchus. However, Edim Zomim, you're 100% right. They have transgressed the issa of loisane, but it's a lav she'ein boi ma'isa. There's no ma'isa. And if that's the case, the regular normal rule that tells me that every lav carries malchus, that cannot apply. And that's why I need a brand new pasuk called what? V'itztikwa es hatzadik v'hirshiu es harasha. But you cannot ask me a question, why do I need that posuk? Isn't it obvious from Loisane? No, it's not obvious at all. Because Loisane is a lav she'im boi maisa, and a lav she'im boi maisa does not get malchus. So that's why I need a specific drasha to tell me that in this particular case, they will get malchus nonetheless.
So don't I need that for all zomim cases, or is that just specific to this case?
No, because in a regular zomim case, you get a different punishment. Kasher zomim can't get two punishments.
What if they're zomim for malchus?
What do you mean for? So then I'll get malchus.
So why isn't their testimony considered lav she'im bo maisa?
It is. But they're not getting malchus because they were over a lav. They're getting malchus because that's the punishment they were trying to inflict.
It's only on the change of punishments.
On a regular lav, again, a regular lav which carries a regular punishment, the normal rule is malchus unless it's a lav she'im bo maisa. Edim zeimin is different. Edim zeimin, they don't get the regular punishment. They get the punishment that they were trying to inflict. Now, here we're caught. Because on some occasions, for whatever reason, we cannot give them the punishment that they were trying to inflict. So we have to now delete Kasha Zomam and we go back to regular rules. What are regular rules? It's a lav. A lav gets malchus, but not if it's a lav she'im bo maisa. So therefore, what should we do with them in theory? Nothing at all. We cannot do Kasha Zomam. We're not going to give them malchus based on the original Loisana because it's a lav she'im bo maisa. That's why I need a special drasha, it's tikkuis hatzadik, to tell me that no, in this particular case, albeit a lav she'im bo maisa, they will get malchus. They will get malchus. As we said yesterday, there could be various cases for varying different reasons that we will not be able to apply kasher zomam. Remember we said yesterday, if two edim testify that it's Rosh Chodesh, and then it turns out not to be. So what are we going to do to the Edom? Make them into Rosh Chodesh? Obviously, we understand that their Kasher Zomam can't apply. So what would we do? We'd give them Malchus. How can you give them Malchus? Surely it's a lav she'im bo maisa. You're right. But that's why I've got a posuk with its tikkun es hatzadik. Okay, so we have now ended half our discussion. Which half? We saw in the Mishnah, in Daf Beis Amud Aleph, that when Edim are adjudicating cases of Malchus, there was a Machloikus. How many Dayanim do we need? According to the first opinion, we need 3. According to the second opinion, 23. So we've ended the first half of discussion, which is discussing the opinion that says you need 3 dayonim. The first opinion in the Mishnah, which says you need 3 dayonim, has now been explained. Why do you need 3? You learn it from the word ushvatum, and they, plural, will judge them. That's 2. You can never have an even number of bezdin. Therefore, you add 1, and you get to the magic number 3. What we have not yet discussed, and that's now coming up, is what about the second opinion? Rabbi Yishmael says that you need 23 dayonim. Why should that be? So have a look at the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Mishum Rabbi Yishmael Omru Be'esrim V'Shloisha, quote unquote. That is, of course, a direct quote from the Mishnah that Rabbi Yishmael disagrees. It's not 3 dayonim, it's 23. My timer, the Rabbi Yishmael. What is the reason behind Rabbi Yishmael? How on earth does he get to the number 23? Says the Gemara, we have to take this very, very carefully. Omar Abaya. We're going to see a machloikus between Abaya and Rava, and a lot of discussion on how to understand Rava. Omar Abaya. Asya Rosha, quote unquote, Michai Vemises. We're going to bring, Asya means to bring, we're going to bring a Gezerah Shabbat. Gezerah Shabbat, as we all know, is when you have one word written in one parasha, you have an equivalent word written in another parasha, so you're allowed, if there's a Masorah, to copy and paste. So Asya, Rosha, Rosha. We're going to do a Gzeira Shava. The word Rosha is written in two different places, and therefore we have license to copy and paste. Where are we going to borrow? Where are we going to access this other word, Rosha? The answer is Michaive Mises. From cases of where person has to suffer the death penalty. Why? Gemara explains. Ksiv Hocha. On one hand, it's written over here, in the case of Malchus, Vahoya im bin hakois harosha, the passage that we have quoted recently. So you see that the person who gets Malchus is called what? The Rosha. Vahoya im bin hakois. Hakois is to smite. We're going to hit, we're going to give Malchus to the Rosha. V'ksiv hasam, and it is written over there elsewhere completely, in fact, in a completely different chumish, asher hu rosha lamos, quote unquote. The person who's going to suffer the death penalty is also described as the rosha. So here we have somebody who's chayev misa, for whatever reason, and the Torah describes him as a rosha. We have elsewhere the person who's going to get Malchus, and he's also described as the Rosha. So two different people, two different cases, two different contexts, and they're both described as a Rosha, so we can copy and paste. Ma lahalon, just like over there in the case of a death penalty, Be'esrim v'shloisha, you require 23 Dayonim, Afkan, so too over here with regard to Malchus, Be'esrim v'shloisha, 23. So this is a classic Zera Shava. It doesn't say anywhere explicitly that whoever gets Malchus needs 23 Dayonim, but by virtue of the fact that we have a Zera Shava, he's described as a Rosha, just like the one who suffers a death penalty, he's also described as a Rosha, so we copy and paste. 23 Dayonim are required to put somebody to death, so therefore 23 Dayonim are also required to administer Malchus. What's the connection? The connection is that the word Rosha is written with both of them. That's the easy teretz. Now comes Rava. Rava Omar. Note, it does not say Omar Rava, as we always point out. Rava Omar is not the same as Omar Rava. Omar Rava would mean that Rava said he's launching a new discussion. Whereas Rava Omar, Rava says, means he's coming to disagree with something that was said previously. And here is a classic case in point. Abaya suggested that the reason why somebody who gets Malchus needs 23 Dayanim is based on the Gezeira Shava. Rava disagrees. He obviously agrees with the principle, it's a Mishnah. But what he disagrees with is the source. Rava Omar, now he says four very difficult words. Malchus b'mokoim misa oimedes. End of teretz. How would we translate those words literally? Malchus, stand in place of misa. It's a replacement for misa. So he's not basing himself on a Gzeira Shava of Rosha Rosha. Rather, he's telling you that Malchus is a replacement. It stands in place of Misa. So therefore, I don't need a Gzeira Shava. It's obvious. If Misa requires 23, then so too Malchus, which is in place of Misa, automatically also requires 23. So he doesn't need a Gzeira Shava, and that's why he's disagreeing with Abaya. So the Shaila is, what exactly did Rava mean? What did Rava mean when he says that Malchus is in place of Misa? Now, we're going to see there are various interpretations, parts of which are based on the continuation of the Gemara. So for the moment, let's see Rashi. We will then continue with the Gemara. And then, Be'ezus Hashem, we will come back to the bottom Tosfos. Look at Rashi on the third wide line. Malchus b'mokoim misa imedes. A very cryptic statement. Malchus is in the place of misa. Not clear what that means. In what way is it in the place of misa? Says Rashi, dekiven do'ovar. Since he has transgressed al azhoras boiroi, on the lav, azhar of the warning, meaning the issa, the avera of boiro of his creator, ra'u hu lomus. A frightening Rashi. He really ought to die. The person who, not the person, the force, the koyach, the rabbeinu shalom, who created you, told you not to do A, B, C, and you went and did it. Essentially, you should die. Umisa zu, and this death that really ought to come your way, knas olav hakosov. Is a penalty which the cost of scripture, which the Torah has enforced, v'harehu ka'achas min hamisos. It is like one of the deaths. What is like one of the deaths? What's being referred to in Rashi when Rashi says it's like one of the deaths? The answer is Malchus. Essentially, when a person is over an avera, he ought to die. And therefore, any punishment that he gets is automatically in place of the death penalty. Even if the Torah has had mercy and has said that it's only, quote unquote, going to be Malchus, but you should know that Malchus is in place of Misa and essentially is considered a form of death. V'chihechi, just like, for example, the skila, stoning, bifnei atzma, that is also a particular type of death. The sreifa, sometimes a person has to be burned, bifnei atzma, that's a different category of death. The hereg, or he has to be killed with a sword, bifnei atzma, that's also a different type of death. Havanami malchus, so too malchus is also ka'achas min hamisos, is also considered just another form, another example of misa. So this is a frightening, spine-tingling Rashi, that when a person is over an avera, he essentially deserves to be put to death on the spot.
Why? We're talking b'mezid, right?
Correct. Why is that? Because there was one word in Rashi that really explained to us the gravity of every Avera. Which word in Rashi that we just learned, do you think Rashi deliberately used a certain word to explain to us why it is that every lav essentially would deserve Misa? Boiler, correct, creator. Why did Rashi refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our creator? I mean, of course, obviously that's true, but that's a very rare turn of phrase. The answer is Rashi Lechaira deliberately used the word creator to explain to us the gravity of the Avera. If not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we would not be alive. He created us. So therefore, it makes sense that our whole Zechus to be here is if indeed we follow the instructions of the one who created us. Right? Imagine you enter the workplace and the boss says, listen, we're happy to take you in, but listen, these are the rules. You abide by the rules, you're in. You don't, you're out. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol says the same. I created you, so you're here at my whim. If you abide by the rules, you're in. And if you don't, you're out. What does out mean? Death, Misa. And therefore, every Avera essentially deserves Misa. If indeed on occasion says Rashi, you find that for whatever reason the Torah has specified a different punishment, that doesn't necessarily mean that that Avera was less strict. Rather, this is a form of Misa. It's essentially in place of Misa. Why is it that if you eat Nevela, you get Malkus, and if you Mechalal Shabbos, you get Skila, and if you do something else, you get Srefa? We don't know. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided. But it's not necessarily reflective of the fact that it's a less important or more important. Every Avera is as important as every other Avera. If you transgress, essentially you deserve to be taken from the world. And therefore, Malkus is not a downgraded punishment. It is a form of Misa, as it were. And if that's the case, says Rava, therefore I understand. In the same way as Misa always requires 23 Dayonim, it makes all the sense in the world that Malkus should also require 23 Dayonim. Why? Because Malkus is a form of Misa. So we have now over here a very, very big machloikus between Abaya and Rava. Again, we're coming to explain the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel held that Malkus, cases of Malkus, need 23 Dayanim. So Abaya said, I learned it from the Gzeira Shava, Rosha Rosha. Rava says, sorry, I don't need a Gzeira Shava. Logic dictates that you need 23 Dayanim. How so? Because Misa, Malkus is B'mokoim Misa Oimedes. Rashi learns that absolutely literally, not figuratively, that Malkus is in place of Misa. It is a form of death. Essentially, every Avera warrants the death penalty. Malkus must therefore, by definition, be a form, as it were, of death. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided in that particular case not literally to take his life, but just give him Malkus? We don't know. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided. But either way, it's in place of Malkus, in place of death. If death requires 23 Dayanim, then by definition, Malkus must also.
Doesn't this suggest that all Averis are equal? Aren't there more Averis that are more Garua than other Averis?
We're not saying they're equal in measure, but they're equal in the fact that they deserve the same punishment.
Well, if all Averis really require that the death penalty, hypothetically, then they're all really the same, no, right?
By definition, they're not the same, because you see there's even different death penalties. So they're clearly not the same, but the basic bar is that they all deserve to be punishable by death. Which darga of death, which much draga, what type of death, etc., 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 that we leave for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to decide. But the common denominator between them all is that they all, minimum, deserve a death penalty. So how can it be that Torah sometimes says he's not put to death, he only gets Malkus? I don't know. We have to ask God when we get there. But either way, Malkus is a form of death. If death requires 23 Dayanim, so too Malkus. Says the Gemara, now there is a Tosfos at the bottom of the Amud, which we will come back to, but we can't learn it yet because it's based on a Gemara that we're about to learn now. Omer Rav Acha Brei de Rav Rav Ashi. So Rav Acha, the son of Rav, said to Rav Ashi, Ihochi, if so, I hope everybody who's been with us for a while remembers the if so rule. What is the if so? What does Ihochi mean? Rabbi Yosef, you're a seasoned member of the Shay. What do we always point out? Whenever it says Ihochi?
I have to confess, I don't remember.
So, okay, anybody else can volunteer?
If what you just told me is true.
Right. Ihochi always means I have a question based on what you just now told me. Okay, so if I see you wearing a very strange pair of glasses, and I want to ask you, why are you wearing the glasses? So I say to you, tell me, where do you live? You say, I live in South Mongolia. Really? If so, why are you wearing such strange glasses? Well, that question doesn't make sense. Why not? Because what do you mean, if so? What's that got to do with the fact that he lives in Mongolia? So if I say if so, it must be that the question is based on the information just provided. In Mongolia, they have a national law that you're only allowed to wear very boring glasses. Ah, so then the question makes sense. If you live in Mongolia, so how can you wear those funny glasses? So the question is based on the information provided, but without the information provided, there's no basis for the question. So too over here, we have a classic case in point. The Gemara says, Ihochi, if so. So if so must mean if Rava is right. Rava has just told me a phenomenal principle that Malkus is in place of Misa. Ihochi, if so, if that's true, I now have the following question. I never would have had the following question, but based on what you just told me, I now do. What's the question? Umdana lomoli limichaya viimois limus. What's an umdana? An umdana is an evaluation. Again, those of you who are with us for Malkus will remember that even though the general rule is 39 Malkus, but we always have to make an evaluation, a medical evaluation. Is he up to taking 39? If in the opinion of the doctors, they say, no, he cannot take 39 because it's too dangerous, he will die as a result, we give him less. Now, here comes the question. If you're telling me that Malkus is essentially in place of Misa, so why would you ever need to do an evaluation? What are you worried about? That he might die? But he deserves death. Because we just said that Malkus is in place of death. So what's this big fear that Eugewald, he may die as a result of giving him all 39, but he deserves to die? Now, how do we understand the Ihochi? The Ihochi makes very good sense. Essentially, without Rava, what would we have understood? Without Rava, we would have understood that Malkus has nothing to do with Misa whatsoever. Therefore, if he's Chayav Malkus, he does not deserve to die at all. And if he doesn't deserve to die, so of course we would have understood. That's why I have to make a medical evaluation in order to ensure that he doesn't end up dying. But now that you've told me that Malkus is just a form of death, it's been koim misa, so why would I be concerned if indeed he dies? After all, he deserves to die. So look at the Gemara again. Ihochi, that's what it means. Ihochi, if so, precisely based on the information you just gave me, that's why I've got this problem. You just told me that Malkus is in place of misa. Ihochi, umdana, an evaluation, lomoli. Why do I need it? Limechaya means hit him. Ve'imois, and if he dies, limos, let him die. Says Rashi, fourth bottom line. Ihochi, if so. So Rashi again homes in on the if so. What does it mean, if so? Says Rashi, Ihochi, if you're telling me dehu gufa, Misa, if you're telling me that it itself is Misa, meaning what? That Malkus is in fact a form of Misa, then umdana lomoli. What does that mean? So Rashi fills us in. Diktani be'elu heilaloikin. We have a parak in Malkus, the third parak called Einu Heilaloikin. What does it say there? The oimdim oisai, oimdim not with an ayin but with an aleph, which means you evaluate him to see if what? Im einoy yochel lekabel arboim. If he's not able to receive all 40, then malkin oisai, then you give him malkus lefima she yochel lekabel, in accordance with that which he is able to receive. So we have to make an evaluation. It seems to be that we're very, very keen. more than just keen. We have to be very careful that he doesn't chas v'shalom die. So we need a medical opinion who says, right, I don't think he can take 39. I think he can only take 15. So we'll give him 15. So why? If you're telling me that essentially he does deserve to die, so hit him and let him die. Says the Gemara, no. Omalei. So he answered back, no, he absolutely must not die. Why? Because Omakro, because we have a pasuk which is written with regard indeed to Malchus. And what does it say? Venikle ochicha le'inecha. Your brother will be despised in front of your eyes. It's again, this is referring to Malchus. So the person who's being hit is referred to as your brother. And we always understand that to mean that by definition, he must be alive. Otherwise, he would no longer be considered your brother. Says the Gemara, ki mochis, when he is being smitten, agaba de chaye mochis. It must be on the back. Agab is the back of a live person. That's who's being hit. So we have a special pasuk to teach us that we've got to make sure that until the very end, he is your live brother. So if I'm going to give him 39 malchus, in the event that medical opinion considers him worthy of only receiving 15, then in the middle of the malchus, he's going to die and he will not be your brother. That is not a fulfillment of the mandate of the pasuk. The mandate of the pasuk is you have to hit your brother. If he dies in the middle, he's not your brother. As Rashi points out, look at Rashi, the third bottom line. V'nikle b'shas shaloike. At the time that you are smiting him, yehe ochicho. He's got to be considered still your brother, which means sheyake es hachai. You've got to smite somebody who is alive. V'lo yesameis. The kiven de mis, and if he would die, kiven de mislei bepalga, if he would die halfway through, al idach palga, then the other half, lav al hachayhu, they won't be alive. Meaning, if I would not do a medical evaluation, what would I do? I would say it's 39 at all costs, even if he dies halfway. Okay. So after 20, he dropped dead. What are you going to do now? You're going to give him another 19, even after the fact that he's dead? But then you're not smiting a live person. You're smiting a dead person. And the Torah absolutely insists that he's got to be considered, he's got to be a live person throughout the duration of the Malchus. So again, what was the question? What was the answer? The question was, if you're telling me that Misa is Malchus is a form of Misa, and essentially he actually deserves to die, so why must I make an evaluation? Give him all 39, and if he dies, he dies. Why would we care? That's what he deserves. And the answer is, you're right, he deserves it, but we have a specific pasuk that tells me what? That you can only give him Malchus as a live person. He's got to be your brother. And if I would give him all 39, despite the fact that he can only actually take 20 and he's going to die halfway through, well, then the second half of the Malchus is going to be on the back of a dead person and not a live one. So that's why, in order to be able to fulfill the mandate of the Torah, which is give Malchus to a live person, that's why I'm going to have a medical evaluation first.
Then why do we care if he dies maybe at the end of 39? What if the 39th Makkah kills him?
As we pointed out in the past, I'm assuming everybody has prepared the Gemara. This is the Gemara's next question. So Imitz Hashem, we will see this tomorrow. We'll pick it up. We'll see the Gemara to the bottom and over the Omer, and then we'll go to see the bottom Tesis Imitz Hashem.
Yeshua.
Have a great day, everybody.
Good day.